Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Taiwan Mobile second quarter 2006 quarter results conference call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer section. Instructions will be given at that time. If any participant requires assistance at any time, please press star followed by zero on your telephone. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Heavy Chang. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Time Mobile's second quarter conference. This is Rosie Yu. Let me turn this over to Harvey Chan for our second quarter business results.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our second quarter conference call. And I'll just make a few remarks that on our business result in the second quarter first, and then I think later we'll talk a little bit about our view in the third quarter, our focus and other things. Let me begin by just directing your attention to our first view graph, which talk about the market. And here I think that the view graph is showing that on an overall basis, actually the revenue, the total revenue, I think, on the market side declined slightly during the second quarter. And with us, I think the market declined on overall basis by 2%, and with us declined by 1%, and CHT stayed flat, but FET that declined by 4%. But in terms of service revenue market share, actually we gained a little market share from 30.3% to 30.4% during the second quarter compared to a year ago. And at the same time, I think that if you look at the left-hand bottom chart, which talks about the ARPU, you can see that we continue to maintain a fairly healthy ARPU. ARPU actually grew by 5% during our second quarter to NT 802. While our competitors are actually showing a decreasing trend on their ARPU. Now let's go to the next page. Which talks about the actual financial results and some of the operational data. As you can see that our number of subscribers at the end of second quarter is about 6.1 million, which is a slight increase from the first quarter. And with both gains on postpaid as well as prepaid side, our churn rate stayed at a low level at about 2%, and while our ARPU, that, as I have just indicated, have advanced us to 802. Both you see advancement from postpaid from 810 to 822, and then actually a slight decrease, I think, of ARPU from 578 to 561 on Q over Q basis. But if you look at year over year basis, it's still it's a significant increase from 419. To 561. Okay, the next page will give you an update of our 3G situation. At the end of the quarter, we have roughly 430,000 3G SIM users, accounting for roughly 7% of our total subscriber base. And the data usage of those who hold 3G SIM cards, they are more than three times of the 2Gs. And the data ARPU is around 1.6 times of the 2Gs. This indicates that the 3G customer not only transmit more data, but also have higher adoption of value-added service content, which require monthly subscription fees. The new 3G rollout strategy continues to focus on providing the equal quality of network coverage as 2G in metropolitan areas. We expect by the end of the year we'll have 3,200 sites, and by the middle of next year will be 3,500 sites. In the past year or so, I think we have seen that migration from 2G to 3G were not as fast as some people expected. And actually, at this point, we still think that we do not anticipate an acceleration of the migration before we see a sort of a more popular handset price for 3G handsets. And also, I think that we need to further beef up the 3G network coverage in the metropolitan area so that they will be in the same level as the 2G. Okay, then I will turn this over to Rosie to talk to you about these actual financial data.
Taiwan Mobile's second quarter service revenue grew 1.2% quarter on quarter, but declined 1.4% year on year. It's primarily due to less traffic from fixed line to mobile. EBITDA margin came in higher than expected, along with a sequential drop in selling expenses and well-maintained network costs. We reaped again of 0.48 billion in non-operating items, which was a function of less asset write-offs, losses of 188 million in second quarter, vis-a-vis 1.54 billion in first quarter, and an additional investment income of 553 million from the disposal of Huawei technology, which we have mentioned in our second quarter guidance. So altogether, we posted 94 cents of EPS for the second quarter. Compared with our second quarter guidance, our revenue was slightly behind the original target, but EBITDA margin was better than forecast by almost 1%. It's mainly contributed by the controlled marketing expenses despite, along with more 3G deployment. And non-operating items also contributed greatly to the net income. Net income was 4% ahead of the guidance in second quarter. On the balance sheet, our second quarter current ratio fell to 1.43 times due to an increase in current liability arising from the distribution of earnings. On the Chunghwa Telecom shares, now classified as financial assets available for sale, were marked down slightly based on the closing price of 58.5 as of June 30th. Our continuous asset write-offs pushed gross fixed assets to decrease, despite $1 billion of gross assets. And on the liability side, short-term debt decreased following continuous CB buyback and conversion. Other current liability increased a lot due to the earnings distribution. The decrease in shareholders' equity from first quarter was a result of the 13.3 billion earnings distribution and 1.8 billion increase in share buyback. Our ROE improved to 18% on higher profits and lower equity base. On the net cash position, actually, our net cash position continued into second quarter as a result of our strong cash generating ability. On the cash flow front, our operating cash flow turned negative due to the transfer of excess funds of 9.6 billion into bond funds for cash management purpose. Cash flows associated with investments have been reclassified from investing activities to operating cash flows since this year. And our CapEx were $1.4 billion this quarter, and our CB buyback of about $400 million NT and share buyback of $1.8 billion led to a continuous negative financing cash flow. Free cash flow turned negative as well in second quarter as we moved excess cash to money market instruments.
This is primarily due to an accounting definition.
Right.
And so actually operating cash flow stays the same.
And on the major activities we did in second quarter, we raised our stake in TransAsia to 100%. As to our holdings of Chunghwa Telecom shares, we have sold 48.3 million shares in open market as of yesterday, reaping a gain of 485 million for third quarter so far. And on the execution of the share buyback program, per our board resolution of April 27th, with 1.8 billion spent, we bought back 58 million shares of our own stock, equivalent to 96% of the targeted 60 million shares, with an average price of 31.46 per share. So let me turn this back over to Harvey for our third quarter guidance.
When we look at our third quarter business situation, basically we don't anticipate any significant change from the environment. It's still a fairly competitive situation. We see a sort of slow declining of the industry revenue, but basically I think the revenue will still remain fairly stable. So if, you know, when we look at try to do a forecast for the next quarter, and we see 4% revenue growth on a quarter-over-quarter basis, but compared to a year ago, same period last year, it will be a slight decline of 2%. And that's on the total revenue. On the telecom service revenue, actually, it's a decline of 1%. And then on operating income, on a Q-over-Q basis, will be a 1% increase, but a minus 7% decrease of operating income, primarily I think that competition basically heightened from the beginning of the year. So we see actually a higher acquisition and retention costs. So overall marketing strength has increased. And our EBITDA, Q over Q will be 1% increase, and year over year will be 5% decrease. EBITDA margin will be around 44.43%. Our pre-tax income will be roughly 58, close to 55.9 billion. And our EPS will be $1.03. And the EPS and net income is significantly higher, primarily because we expect to dispose some of the CHC shares this quarter. Okay, I think I will stop right here, and we will be happy to take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chang. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer section. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by 2. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you are using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before asking your question. One moment for the first question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Mr. Matthew Adams. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, this is Matt Adams from Deutsche Bank. Just had two quick questions. One, the tax rate for the latest quarter was lower. And I just wondered, you know, you've given third quarter, but if you could give an overall tax rate estimation here. And then also, for shares bought back, previously you've stated that they were going to be retained for employee compensation. Can you just confirm that that's still the case? Thanks.
Matthew, our tax rate remains in the range of 13 to 14% for this year. And on the share buyback, the shares we have bought back will still be used for incentivization of our employees.
Great. Thanks very much, and thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Eleanor Leung. Please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, this is Eleanor Leung from CLSA. I have two questions. The first one is that would you sell down more Chunghwa share in the second half of 2006, and how much more share you would sell it? The second question is what will be the assets write-off for the third quarter and for the whole year? Thank you.
Hi, Ellen. We will reserve the options to dispose of our Chunghwa Telecom shares in both open market and ADR, depending on the price. So our efforts will continue into the next few months. And on your second question of asset write-down, our asset write-down for the third quarter is 536 million NT. And our whole year target has been raised from 2 billion to 2.9 billion. Well, the purpose is to dispose of more assets along with our efforts to integrate our to optimize our network, so we can save more OPEX for the future. As you may have seen from our management report, that once we complete our network optimization, we will be able to save about 300 million OPEX per year, starting from maybe second quarter of next year.
I see. Just to confirm that Chunghwa will sell down more Chunghwa share. Sorry, Taiwan Mobile will sell down more Chunghwa share if the price is right, right?
Yes.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, we only got right now. I think we have already deposed over 50 million shares.
Yeah, around.
So we only got 100 million left. So that's not very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Amin Ramachandra. Please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the call. My name is Anand Ramachandran, calling from Citigroup. Three questions. Question number one, you mentioned revenues for the market declining quarter on quarter for two consecutive quarters now. What's driving this, do you think? That would, some color there would be useful. Secondly, if I generally look at the cash build-up, yes, that's coming through pretty well. I wonder if you could revisit what your thoughts are with regard to any capital management incentive to shareholders. And thirdly, on the Chunghwa Telecom stake sale, is there a timeline, i.e. do you want to do it by the end of this year, or are you prepared to hold on for the next, whatever, 12 months? Thank you.
Hey.
As you are probably very well aware that we do have a few smaller newcomers into the market. So when we talk about the decline of the industry, we're basically talking about the sum of the three major players. So I think that primarily we see them coming and taking a couple percent of these, a few percent of the overall market revenue. It's not a sort of dramatic change, but I think they do creeping up a little bit. And so that's on the market revenue side. And also, I always have this suspicion that maybe Skype is also one of the suspects who is taking some revenue away from us. And then we are talking about the capital management. We are still evaluating this. Right now, that we, you know, because this is a fairly complex financial engineering, involves fairly complex regulatory processes. We're still evaluating what is the best for the shareholders. So right now we have not sort of made up our minds of what we're going to do. And the third one, the question
is the timeline of...
And we don't really have any timeline in terms of disclosing. I just indicated, after all, after we have just disposed of 50 million shares, we only got 100 million of CHC shares left. So if the price is right, we will probably sell them. What is right price? I think current market level, we think is not a bad price for us. But if the price falls, we may stop and wait and see. And so we don't have any pressure. So in terms of that, we have to get rid of these shares. But on the other hand, that if we think that we want to take advantage of the market timing as well.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Tin Dao. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi. This is Tin Dao from GIC. Thank you very much for the call. I just have two questions. The first is on the regulator. Would you have any views on any of the recently stated goals or targets that the NCC has stated? And the second question is, I guess, a difficult one for you to answer, but would you have any views on whether TFN is willing to sell its stake in Taiwan Mobile? Thank you.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, yes.
Yeah.
Tim, that right now most of the new policies that are announced by NCC have more to do, I think, with the fixed line operators. I think the one that I think appears to be more relevant to us is actually in their favor of that. Operators belong to the same shareholders that to consolidate their network, and that's what we're doing, and we are beginning to do that starting this quarter to consolidate some of the network of the base stations. In terms of TFN, right now that I actually am not aware that there's any sort of indication that they are going to sell their stake in TWM.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Shelley C. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, it's Shelley C from UBS. Thanks very much for the call. My first question relates to 3G. You mentioned earlier that migration to 3G is unlikely to accelerate before the prices drop to a certain level. When do you think the timing of that would be? Would it be later this year? And secondly, is this slowing migration to 3G also affecting the timing of your potential large asset write-down, which was originally targeted for sometime in 2008?
Migration actually is very, very difficult to forecast. And from what we see, that I don't think it will accelerate in the next 3 to 6 months. And I think we're going to see more varieties of handsets now, as it has been doing, and we're going to see much more of that introduced to the market during the second half this year. But not to the stage that they will be sort of become the mainstream product on the shelf, and their price will be sort of a more affordable price range. Right now, I think most of the 3G handsets are still above, I think, average handset price. Most of them are $300 and above, I think. That's on the 3G migration speed. And in terms of, I think that in terms of the asset write-down situation, I think that in the past, maybe there is sort of miscommunication or misconcept on that that is going to happen. I think that when we talk about it in the past, basically we are saying that this asset write-down basically will have to go according to the new accounting rule, that the number 35. And at that time, that there was it's not a target, it's an estimate that maybe that at that time that the 3G revenue will exceed more than half of our revenue, and then it's time for us to seriously look at exam. I think that whether this will apply to us under number 35. Of course, right now, if the 3G adoption speed has been slower, and probably, and that but right now it's still too early to tell because it's still 2 years away. That whether that we will be able to apply number 35 or not.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Helen Chu. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, it's Helen Chu from Goldman. A couple of follow-up questions. On the first question with relation to the asset write-off, following up on what Shirley was just talking about, just wondering, is there any change then to the total outstanding amount, which was mentioned earlier, of $12 billion, I guess $10 billion after this year? You mentioned that you'll be adding an additional $0.9 billion this year in association with the integration and optimization. Would that be part of the $12 billion total as well, or is that incremental?
Hi, Helen. This is Rosie. Just want to clarify the 0.9 billion increase from 2 billion to 2.9 billion was for is for our network optimization. So that's for this year. And as far as the 12 billion you just mentioned, it was an estimate made in year 2004. It's the 0.9 billion increase could be part of that.
Okay. And then following up on that, I think earlier this year on one of the calls, it was mentioned that the 2 billion write-off for this year would still allow Taiwan Mobile to report flat earnings year on year on a reported basis. So given that you've increased your write-off, but only in association with the fact that there will be more than expected one-off gains, are you still pretty comfortable with the full-year flat earnings guidance?
Yeah.
Okay. And then does that full-year flat earnings guidance then assume a complete sell-down of the Chunghwa stake? Because obviously how much gains you book on that will affect your reported earnings.
Hi, Helen. Yes, it's been factored in.
That's factored in. Okay.
Yeah.
And then if you don't mind another question, earlier we were talking about the slowdown in the market, and I think Harvey mentioned that part of the impact was from a little bit of market share loss in terms of revenues to some of the new players within the space. Just wondering, it seems like both Taiwan Mobile and Far East Tone are protecting their EBITDA margins quite cautiously and kind of willing to sacrifice a little bit on the top line. So I'm just wondering, if you were to choose to step up on sales and marketing efforts again, do you think how much of that top line slowdown do you think would be reversible in terms of getting back market share from the newcomers, or do you think that basically the downward trend is not reversible because the market as a whole is slipping anyways?
I don't think that what we're doing here is try to gain back the market share. I think that, and I don't think what our competitors is doing is that they're willing to sacrifice their top line. I think it's a matter of how you offer your products. And we always, I think, keep the EBITDA margin, I think, in the back of our mind. At the same time, I think, of course, we also need to watch out for the competition. That certainly, I think, what we don't want to do is that to be perceived that we are losing sort of a total momentum in the marketplace, which that is an awful thing to do. And that basically that's my comment that the EBITDA margin, I think that the 44-45% level, I think is certainly something that we watch that fairly carefully, and we are certainly not that try to buy market share. And we didn't start all this, I think, starting end of last year until now. But we do react very quickly to what our competitors are doing, and watching them doing wrong things. If you look at the history, you see that clearly. But what happened? Certainly, we are not the ones that are doing all this. And,
understood. If I could just maybe ask the question a different way then. Assuming that you keep the EBITDA margin relatively stable at the 44-45% level, what do you think it would take in the second half, or let's say even in the first or second quarter of next year, to get Taiwan Mobile's revenue trends firmly into positive territory again on a year-over-year basis? Do you think it would be much better than expected data growth trends, or is there anything on the horizon that you could see which could trigger revenue growth to move to, let's say, 2 or 3% positive again?
Well, what we can do is, first of all, I think that we are continuing to revisit our acquisition strategy and trying to make sure that we're gaining high-quality customers. And so you know, they are you know, market competitions, and they are things sometimes we have to react, but they are also things that after we react, if we felt after a few months that this is the wrong thing to do, we will correct them, we will reverse them, what we do. So the first thing to do is continue to making sure that our acquisition strategy is right, that will get us high-quality customers. Because that, after all, I think the new customer, revenue generated by the new customer are the main driving force of revenue growth. And secondly, I think it's actually also fairly simple, is that we are constantly looking at our churn rate. And some of the churn rates that can be driven up because we bring the wrong customers, and they will churn during the early stage of their adoption of a service. So these are the two very important things we do. And then thirdly, then of course, that we need to sort of to just strengthen our ties with our customers. So. And what we're doing now is that we are actually starting last month that we have launched a new customer service program that this is not just a slogan, this is actually company-wide effort that we are taking this very seriously in the hope that we will be able to significantly increase the customer's satisfaction level. And which will in turn stimulate their usage of our service. And lastly, of course, the VAS program is also very important. That more data usage is certainly that's what we're looking at. And actually, you know, one of the reasons that our data did not grow, data usage did not grow as well as we expected, is that it's actually that we are a little bit behind in terms of integrating the service platform among the three companies that we own, TWM, TNT, and MBT. So while the growth rate of data usage at TWM is actually no inferior to our competitors, we have the TAT and the MBT growth rate dragging our feet. So this is something that has to be correct, and actually we are putting resources and my personal attention on this, and hopefully in the next 3-4 months that we'll be able to put that issue away from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Jimmy Chong. Please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, it's Jimmy Chong from JP Morgan. Just three quick questions. First is some guidance on the selling expense. It trended down in 2Q from 1Q. Do you expect it to trend down further in 3Q or maintain at the same level as 2Q? Second, on industry revenue growth, if you include the two smaller players, do you see the overall Taiwan mobile industry revenue growth flat or up slightly or down slightly? Just some comments on there if you include the whole five players. And final question is any plans on overseas investments? You mentioned something previously. You may look at some assets in emerging markets. Thank you.
Or if you try to include the revenues of all these smaller players, my suspicion is that we will see a modest the growth of the overall market. But unfortunately, these people, I think, they don't necessarily make announcement on their revenues. So it's very difficult to get. We can only guess that from the number of their newly acquired customers, but we also suspect that the outputs of their customers are significantly lower than ours. So it's not very easy to make that estimate. On the overseas investments that we have been looking at some target companies, but at this point we have not come to a stage to really to openly talk about this. So probably at the next conference call we can talk more about it. And as to selling expense, I'll let Rosie talk about these numbers.
Yeah, our acquisition per subscriber actually went down from first quarter to second quarter, and our efforts to trim it down will continue into the third quarter for sure. But that's basically an adjustment of our marketing strategy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Simon Cheung. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, it's Simon Cheung calling from Merrill Lynch. I have three questions. One, can you remind me how many outstanding shares you have on for Chunghwa Telecom? And secondly, just related to that 12 billion 2G assets outstanding balance, after that 2.9 billion asset write-down for this year, how much outstanding would you have by the end of this year? And do you consider speeding up the process, i.e. writing off your assets in probably in 2006 or 2007? Lastly, just related to the slowdown on the revenue trends, you earlier mentioned that part of which is actually attributable to the migrations from fixed to mobile traffic. Just wondering, of that 2% year-on-year revenue decline, how much of that is actually attributable to that traffic migrations? Thanks.
Hi, Simon. Our current shares outstanding, our current Chunghwa shares outstanding are around 100 million shares, 100 million shares now. And the slowdown of revenue, which was attributable to the less traffic from fixed to mobile, that's almost all of them was due to this reason. And on the and on the 12 billion you mentioned on the 2G write down, I'll give you more detailed explanation later.
Sorry, can I clarify on the second point? The fixed to mobile traffic Was that due to interconnection revenue declining because I suppose you receive more revenue per minute or interconnection revenue per minute with fixed to mobile traffic versus mobile to mobile traffic?
Yes, for fixed to mobile, we can get $6.6 per minute. And for mobile to mobile, we only get 2.15.
So basically, the revenue per minute decline was purely because of...
From this source, right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ms. Kathy Chen. Please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, I'm from Goldman Sachs. I have four questions. Can you comment on, I know the income tax law was changed this year and there's potential for 3G tax benefits going forward. So do you have any outlook yet on what the tax rate will be in 2007 and 2008? The second question is, in your prepared comments, you mentioned that within TransAsia network integration, you can start saving about $300 million OPEX on a yearly basis starting second quarter next year. Is there any more room for some more network integration to be done after that, so potential upside to that $300 million per year? The third question is, can you tell us how much the convertible bond is left in terms of dilution? And the last question is, on your comments on the overseas M&A earlier, can you elaborate on, you know, what kind of considerations do you look at? So size, what markets or what type of criteria would it be on the value-added services side or other operators?
Yeah, hi. On the income tax side, actually for this year, starting from next year, our 5-year tax holiday will expire. So the tax rate will go up from current 13 to 14% range to about 22.5% next year. And on your second question of OPEX savings, once the network optimization is completed, we will have about $300 million savings in OPEX. So that's based on our estimate. And our CB dilution, currently we, you know, our Taiwan CB1, is already closed for conversion, and for the CB2, there's still 239 million worth of CBs outstanding. The dilution impact could be calculated by dividing the number by 23.6, the conversion price. So you can easily have a grasp of how the dilution impact will be. And basically, we will continue buying back the CB if the price is right. And if the price, and if the seller, if the holders are willing to sell to us. And on your last question of overseas investment considerations, basically, it must be fitting into our value chain nicely. So the possibilities are there. We don't rule out any kind of possibilities if the opportunities are right for us.
Can I just follow up on the second question about the OPEX savings? I understand that there will be $300 million in annual savings per year, but I was wondering if there's opportunities after that for further network optimization.
Hi. On the OPEC savings, on further OPEC savings down the road, we are still estimating all possibilities. Basically, we are working on the project that we mentioned to you, so that's our priority for now.
Okay, and then sorry, just one last follow-up on the last question about overseas investment considerations. So can I confirm that you're mostly interested in just the value chain and there isn't any interest in possibly acquiring other operators?
Well, that's part of the value chain. The value chain is fairly long, you know. You can be, you know, from handset, it can be from handset design, it can be a value-added services, there can be a call center, there can be lots of things, you know, anything in the value chain we're looking at. And if we find some synergy, we will spend more time looking at it. That's what we're doing right now.
So that includes operators as well then?
I'm sorry?
That includes
so that operators. Value chain that you mentioned includes other mobile operators as well?
Well, we will not say upfront no to this opportunity.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. Mr. Chen, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue
okay.
with any further comments you wish to make. Thank you.
I think that I just want to thank you all that are participating in this conference call. And I know we'll be working hard, and hopefully that will give you more interesting results for the coming quarter. And I will see you next time on the conference call. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Taiwan Mobile second quarter 2006 quarter results. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.